Can we have the floor open for questions then on this? You have one too? I have one too. My question is, and I'm sure you covered this, but I lost it somewhere in the process. It's a basic question. We heard the GM talk about the advantage of going through the process to his company, and there's obviously benefit there. There's some kind of link between the changes that he's made in the company and the direct payoff by all of those indexes that he showed. But in a more general way, I guess I'm still not clear what's the advantage to a company to get certified. What's the to go through this process and so on? What's the payoff for them? What's the market?
I guess, you know, to having a norm, when you have a norm, something like, which is formal, you're going to have formal standard, and it's going to be easier for us to improve, you know, into that, what I call the healthier workforce initiative. Without norm, you know, you do it by yourself, but with a norm, you have like a goal, you know, and when it's a norm, it's something that has been normalized, that has been approved at the higher level, so it's for us, it's going to be easier to improve and to really focus on what is necessary, really, or what's important, really.
Some of the companies also that have been certified or in the process of certification had told us that it's a kind of recognition of their company to be a good workplace to work. And so the certification provides you with an official recognition of what you have done in your company.
I should open up to the floor, but I'm just curious, is there some way that employees in the job market can get this information, I guess, when they're looking for employment and they see that a firm, I know this is all very new, but if they see that a firm has met this standard, or can you advertise it in some way and have this come back into so in other words, is it effective in the marketplace, in the job market? Does it have an impact?
Well, there's a very simple answer to that. We have on our website, we have a list of all the companies or organizations that are certified, and it is updated every week. So you may know right off which one are certified, which one are not. And maybe also to add to the answers to the question about the motivation to get a certification, this is, in addition to what was said, also an incentive to keep what you are doing good, to keep it over the years, as if you stop at some point doing that and that, keeping those good habits that you implemented, you will lose your certification. It will become visible. Mm-hmm. So you have an additional incentive to maintain them.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to add that also there is a lot of companies that are doing things in health promotion, but you know, all scattered things in the workplace, so little activities there and there. So the standard provides them with a structured approach to all integrate their activities. So when you're looking to have the certification, you have to structure your approach. Mm-hmm. So that's what the companies are talking to us.
Another concern is about benchmarking, because you have this process, which is quite the same, and it's possible with a lot of organization being certified to be able to compare the performance one with each other.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any questions from the floor? You did such a good job of presenting it that there are no questions. You answer all the questions, it seems.
Can I ask one more question? Mr. Simonetto, can you explain to us what would we say the three main success factors that brought those results that you showed to us about what you have done in your company?
the three main factors. You know, there's a lot of factors. I think that really, you know, it's the people. You know, you have to take care of your people because when you run a 600 employees shop, you know, it's like I work for 600 people. I'm there to support them, and if you want to win, you know, they need to be engaged, they need to be innovative, you know, and we need performance. So I would say that the three main factors, it's the supervisors, you know, the leadership. It starts with the leadership, and when I say leadership, it's not only me, you know, it's not my team, it's the supervisor. You know, the frontline supervisors are very, very important, you know. Over the years, we have provided them with a lot of training. Like I said, you know, at some point we were discussing, you know, 3-4 years ago, how can we have our supervisors more energized? Well, maybe if we start that 5-5-30 program, you know, it's going to give a little contest between them, you know, so, and if they are energized, the people beneath them, probably they will look at them and they will be tempted to do the same thing. So that's how we started the thing, you know, and that was probably the big change that we see in order to continue. There's obviously the technology, but you can have the technology you want, you know, if your people, if you don't have a good work climate, you know, the people, they will not implement that technology, you will fail with that, your new technology. So it's really a marriage of the two, and it's day-to-day work. So you have a question?
So I know that this panel was a case study, but I was, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to generalize up a little bit. A couple weeks ago, I was at a corporate social responsibility conference, and the jury there was very much out on why voluntary standards work, and, you know, the nature of the voluntary standard approach. So you guys all seem to believe in it for good reasons. And I'm just wondering on a personal level, not necessarily directly related to your specific standards, why you think these work, and who the I guess considering the multi-stakeholder approach, who the biggest stakeholders are that would push for this kind of change, and why voluntary standards work in the way that they do.
Well, I think that one of the answers is the following. It's a matter of a return on investment at a scale of a company, as an example, or a plan, but also at the scale of the society as a whole. For the last 30 years in the developed countries, the health costs, altogether private and public costs of health services, raised the double of the GNP in every country. It's true in all the countries of the OECD. How can we stop this kind of tendency? How can we break the tendency? We think that we didn't succeed with a lot of reports we had, and that was were tabled since 1970, you know. And we think that we can succeed to change this pattern through a kind of business way of thinking, because of the return on investment for everybody. And you can't see right now everywhere in the world a solution to this tendency. We think that this could be one solution, and I would give only an example. Alcoa told me that they will do with this standard what they do with all the other standard. When one of their plant is ISO for 14,000, they asked to their main provider to be as such within 3 years. Okay, so if we repeat this pattern to the health domain, it can have an impact overall within maybe 10 or 20 years.
And, you know, I find it is an innovative approach, okay? It's innovation, that healthier workforce, okay? And if we, because you can have innovation, you know, technical innovation, but you can have also what we call management innovation, you know? And when you are innovative, at some point, you're going to have the best talent coming, working for you. You're going to have the best team, and you're going to, at the end of the day, you're going to have the best product, you know, because you are going to have the best people to develop the best product and all that stuff. So that's how I see it. Of course, there's a question of cost, but there's more than that. You know, for the people, for the individual people, you know, it's not because I want them to be energetic at work. You know, if they are energetic at work, they're going to be energetic in their family. They're going to be energetic in their other activities. So everybody will benefit from that. So it's something that I think, you know, we're going to have to go deeper and deeper, you know, and it's something good. Same thing, you know, health and safety. It started with health and safety. You cannot have a program like that if you have dangerous conditions, you know, in your plant and things like that. But I have a guy the other day, he went to the ACDC show in Bell Center, okay, and he brought with him his hearing plugs, okay. So that's a way that, you know, we have changed some behavior in our plant, you know. And I was happy when he told me that he brought his hearing plug at the ACDC show. So that's an example, you know, when you change the behavior of your people, you're winning big time. So.
Okay, what I'm going to do here, we have, I think we finish at 4:30. So we have a very important step, because I still have a job to do, and we're going to ask you to help us put together some themes from today. Sort of, is this the appropriate moment, Dora, for this? We need to, and I thank you again for this presentation. It's going to play, I'm sure, a role in our work now as well. This Quebec case, which I think is an important one. But what we need to do is give some guidance and some assistance to the rest of the conference tomorrow. And so what we want to try to do today, our idea at least, was to come up with three kind of overarching themes that come out of the workshops. These are workshops that are to feed into the and give some guidance to the proceedings over the next day or so. So with your help, can anybody try to kind of come up with something? Yeah.
Kind of gone through from the different panels just to refresh your mind or memory, and others may chime in or we can change, but I wrote down some of the questions that came up and I probably didn't get all of them, but from the morning question, I think what we were talking about there was some best practices in terms of what organizations can do in terms of healthy workplaces. I think that we discussed in the question and answers that followed about a context. You know, different countries have different contexts in terms of what would motivate organizations to create those healthy work conditions. And I'm thinking we had three examples of how we did that. So is there a broader question there in terms of what can we do to ensure that this continues to happen in businesses, or where it's not happening in organizations, how can that be spurred on? I mean, we had good examples here, but are there better ways of doing that? So that was one question that came out, I thought, from this morning. And then also, within the context of those, what can individuals do for themselves? Or how do you get individuals to take more responsibility for their own well-being, given the context that's there? I don't know if we want to go that far, but that also came out of that morning conversation. I think from the framer, there was a question of how do we provide social and employment stability in inherently unstable conditions? A very macro question. So those are sort of from that first panel, and maybe want to say which way is the best way to go. From the second panel, I just have two questions, and that was about really focus on some of the migrant worker conditions. And which innovative approaches will lead, will lead to the improvement of the healthcare crisis of the migrants worldwide? Or maybe another way of framing some of this is who should be taking the role in promoting the work environment worldwide? Whose job is it? And it's business we've talked about, but what role does government have as well? What role does civil society have on a broader perspective? And then on the last panel that we had was around the whole question of human rights, and maybe we looked at it from the point of view of human rights as a value, what value systems maybe are driving healthy workplaces. Should they be based on values, or is it based on the bottom line, the business values that many people also spoke about? It's good for the companies, and so they will undertake it. Or is there something deeper there that drives that? We had some examples around ageism and also around the youth. We didn't talk about that as much, except for in the factories. But the Cirque du Soleil does that, and they have some actions that they take, because they deal also with very young workers, not child labor, but very young workers. And what can you do to create a healthy work environment for those? So we have three different panels. Does somebody, does that spur someone, or someone thinks that one of those was the right way to go? Should we start with the first one? And we're really time sensitive here. So around the first panel where we had some examples of best practices, does somebody have a particular way they thought it would frame the question as they move it forward? I like to do this usually in table discussions, but we don't have much time. But maybe, why don't we do that? Because that, at least everybody can have it. So take maybe 5 minutes on that first panel and see if you can come up with a question or something that really hits you. Maybe we can... Celie, maybe if you want to join this panel, yeah, and just say what's the question that you think should come out of that first. In fact, I'm going to break you up into the three themes because we're not going to have enough time, so we'll depend on it. So this is kind of work in action. So if you'll focus on the morning session and what's the question that you want to bring in, and then we'll get agreement on that. We'll have you work on the second question, which is around the migrant workers, the broader questions from a global perspective, and maybe the rest, if we can get people to form a table here, work on the one around values. How's that for making people think outside their comfort zones? Well, actually, you're here from Eric, too, and you can... Do you want to join this table? So the question was, that was the conversation around
the value system.
Yeah, human values, and also then we did talk about the child labor and also ageism. Mm-hmm. But what's the is there a question that we can come back? Is there a challenge that we can leave the group?
We'll be right back.
Is it a question to our third question or a general?
It's just a, you know, what can business do or what?
Okay.
Is it
so that researchers can work on these issues, right?
It could be, yes. Yeah. And they'll be thinking, they have to think about it in the think tank because you'll be going through that. So. We're not quite sure how we're going to do it.